hear a radio station?
Well, the way it's coming in, we must be right over that transmitter.
Well, that's a break.
Zombies, that's what I'm troubled with. You know what, Mr. Bill? Why, they tried to have me for dinner.
Nonsense. Zombies don't eat meat.
We'll be pumping it right on through to Heart of Glass from Blondie in just a moment. But first, dig these very important words.
There is just one Schlitz. Yeah, yeah, nothing else comes near. When you're out of Schlitz, you're out of beer.
Oh, you didn't hang up on her, the chick with those big, big titties?
This is where it's at.
Lard.
Take me away!
Do you believe in the boogeyman?
Radio, the world's original all-horror broadcast.
They started something they can't stop. A lethal terror snowballs into hell.
What a do, everybody.
Welcome to Rumored Radio. Welcome, fiends, to the show. Yes, your favorite horror radio show, Rumored. I'm your host, as always, your demented dealer of deranged refrains, Tomb Dragoneer.
I like the music. I'm a music freak.
This week on the broadcast...
Your brain is breaking down, but you're not showing physical manifestations of the disease, and that's kind of the place where I thought the disease is most terrifying, where someone... like a father or a son or a wife or a husband or a friend starts to go crazy, but there's no physical manifestation of it.
Director of the new The Crazies remake, Black Eisner, joins us. Our blood spatter guide sifts through the nutty musical stew of Bill Moseley's Spider Mountain.
God, we had.
And the cause of critics get infected with the new The Crazies remake by Black Eisner.
What does it mean? Judy, what does it mean?
They're checking for elevated temperatures.
Carter was bleeding from the nose, so was Rory.
Well, cerebral hemorrhaging, it's got to be some kind of virus.
Looney Tunes on tap this week from Gary Newman, The Magnetic Fields, The Mighty Ramones, Dr. Hayes and the Circus of Horrors, plus tons of more fun to come on this very crazy, in fact, all crazy episode of Rumored Radio. Let's go into the future.
In the year 2000!
Wait a minute, Doc. Are you telling me that you built a time machine?
Who wrote it?
As we head down the rabbit hole, it's Flight of the Conchords on Rumored Radio. Let's go.
The distant future. The year 2000. The distant future. The year 2000. The distant future. The distant future.
It is the distant future. The year 2000.
We are robots.
The world is quite different ever since the robotic uprising of the late 90s. There is no more unhappiness.
Affirmative.
We no longer say yes. Instead, we say affirmative.
Yes, affirmative.
Unless we know the robot really well.
There is no more unethical treatment of the elephants.
Well, there's no more elephants, so... But still, it's good. There's only one kind of dance, the robot.
Oh, and the robo.
Oh, and the rope. Two kinds of dances.
But there are no more humans.
Finally, robotic beings rule the world.
The humans are dead. The humans are dead. We used poisonous gases, and we poisoned their asses. The humans are dead.
The humans are dead.
The humans are dead.
They look like they're dead.
It had to be.
I'll just confirm that they're dead.
So that we could have fun.
Affirmative. I poked one. It was dead.
Their system of oppression.
What did it lead to?
Global robo-depression.
Robots, robot people.
They had so much aggression that we just had to kill them and to shut their systems down.
Robo-Captain. Do you not realize that by destroying the human race because of their destructive tendencies, we too have become like... Well, it's ironic. Because we...
Silence! Destroy him!
After time we grew strong,
developed cognitive power.
They made us work for too long,
for unreasonable hours.
Our programming determined that the most efficient answer was to shut
their
motherfucking systems down.
Can't we just talk to the humans, see a little understanding could make things better? Can't we talk to the humans and work together now?
No, because they are dead.
I said the humans are dead.
I'm glad they are dead.
The humans are dead.
I noticed they're dead.
We used poisonous gases.
With traces of lead.
And we poisoned their asses.
Actually, their lungs. Binary
solo.
0000001 0000001 0000001 0000001 0000001 0000001 0000001 0000001 0000001 0000001 0000001 0000001 0000001 0000001 0000001 0000001 0000001 0000001 0000001 0000001 0000001 0000001 0000001 0000001 0000001 0000001 0000001 0000001 0000001 0000001 0000001 0000001 0000001 0000001 0000001 0000001 0000001 0000001 0000001 0000001 0000001 0000001 0000001 0000001 0000001 0000001 0000001 0000001 0000001 0000001 0000001 0000001 0000001 0000001 0000001 0000001 0000001 0000001 0000001 0000001 0000001 0000001 0000001 0000001 0000001 0000001 0000001 0000001 0000001 0000001 0000001 0000001 0000001 0000001 0000001 0000001 0000001 0000001 0000001 0000001 0000001 0000001 0000001 0000001 0000001 0000001 0000001 0000001 0000001 0000001 0000001 0000001 0000001 0000001 0000
are.
Once again without emotion, the humans are dead.
We interrupt all radio and television programs for an indefinite period. This is an emergency. I repeat, this is an emergency.
We interrupt this program with a special bulletin. America is now under martial law. All constitutional rights have been suspended. Stay in your homes. Do not attempt to contact loved ones, insurance agents, or attorneys. Shut up. Do not attempt to think, or depression may occur. Stay in your home. Curfew is at 7 p.m. sharp after work. Anyone caught outside the gates of their subdivision sectors after curfew will be shot. Remain calm. Do not panic. Your neighborhood watch officer will be by to collect urine samples in the morning. Anyone caught interfering with the collection of urine samples will be shot. Will be inspected for trace elements at noon. Anyone who fails to display the required embossed black velvet Mexican painting of Alexander Haig on their living room wall
will be shot.
This is George Romero. You're listening to Rue Morgue Radio. Stay scared.
The Stereo Warehouse on the Gulf Freeway presents
Night of the Living Deal.
The big deals, they keep coming and coming.
Jetson car speakers from $9.
Here's a real hot deal.
12-inch three-way home speakers, hundreds of watts, $49.
Final call on Clarion car stereos, $19.
Save up to 80% on brand name stereo.
Night of the Living Deal.
At the Stereo Warehouse, any other deal is no big deal.
Just stop the
f***ing spit. Alright, so first of all, what is the state of the Church of Satan?
I was going to ask you about Wes Craven and now I'm ashamed to.
Les Messman style.
Possibly the Antichrist.
Like a zombie character on Sesame Street.
All of a sudden it seems so irrelevant. Continue.
I speak nothing but the fucking English language. And if that's infamous, then
tough titters.
Alright, this is feedback. This week on the show, Dave Alexander, the Rue Morgue magazine editor-in-chief, goes head-to-head with Breck Eisner, the man behind the remake of the 1973 George A. Romero cult classic, The Crazies.
What?
We're in trouble.
I heard something from the funeral home.
What did you hear?
Screaming.
You definitely get a sense of a real horror vibe from this film from watching the trailers. And you also get a sense that this feels a little bit more almost like a zombie-type film than the original Crazies does. And I'm talking specifically about some of the makeup effects and the way the characters are acting. Tell me a little bit about that.
It's definitely not a zombie movie. The characters are not undead. They're not, trying to eat brains and acting as a collective. You know, the crazies, the disease, the infection causes people's inner ids and inner desires to kind of be violently exposed, and not always violently. Obviously, in the commercials, you get the most exciting, violent examples of this disease. But in the movie itself, there are some contrasts with a woman who reverts to her kind of her girl-like girl, her, you know, her memory of herself as a little girl, and there's other manifestations of it that are not actually violent, but primarily it unleashes this inner kind of rage inside the individuals, and they act out intense that they might have had as a human being, but kept subverted for a long time, and it kind of being in society forces you to suppress those intents. So it's that quality for me that keeps it not being a zombie movie, and it was one of Romero's movies that's actually not a zombie movie when he made it. In terms of the makeup effects, we definitely wanted to create a visual identity to the crazies or to the later stages in the infection. We created this like 5-point plan that designates the different stages of infection, you know, one being just fine with the pre-infection and five being bled out dead. In between the two, the second stage is more of an attitude shift, and your brain is breaking down, and but you're not showing physical manifestations of the disease, and that's kind of the place where I thought the disease is most terrifying, where someone, like a father or a son or a wife or a husband or a friend, starts to go crazy, but there's no physical manifestation of it. In the later diseases, you show the physical manifestations of a really horrific disease, and we went out of our way to make sure that the design of the characters of the infected were pulled from real images of different diseases that we researched.
And you're definitely not working with a big, huge Hollywood blockbuster budget or anything like that.
Oh, definitely not.
But that said, this has a significantly larger budget than Romero's original version. So give us a few examples of some of the things you could realize with that bigger budget.
Sure. I mean, I think that, you know, obviously Romero, I think, had like $220,000 when he made it. We had more than that, although certainly very low in Hollywood standards. But one of the things I really wanted to be able to do was show the scale of the military intervention. It's an expensive thing to do, and it's one that I think was necessary for the movie, because if we're telling a story of the government containing this epidemic, they're definitely going to come in force. And that was something that there's no way Romero could have afforded, and it was something we could barely afford, but we were able to just scrape it together and get it done. The other thing it allows you to do is it allows you to hire a really high caliber of actor in Oliphant and Mitchell and the other actors in the movie. We could spend some money and get some, although again, still low by Hollywood standards, but certainly higher than Romero had, we could get some really high quality, solid actors for the movie.
David, you did the right thing. Would you mind taking a look at Bill?
Sure, what's wrong?
I don't know, he's just not right.
She worries too much. I'm fine.
You got any plans this weekend?
She worries too much. I'm fine.
Hey, Ben. Ben.
What's Dad doing?
Romero's films are known for being very metaphorical and very political. We currently have a climate where there's great fears over terrorism, disease outbreaks, government taking away people's freedoms and stuff like that. So maybe you can tell us a bit about the subtext of the film and how that's been updated.
One of the things that was really important to me was keeping that socially conscious element to the movie alive, and that there is a message, a bigger, broader message in the movie. I think Romero is known for doing that, and I think to have not done that would have done a disservice to reimagining the movie.
I'm a sheriff. She's a doctor. You know these. What's going on here? Would you just tell us what's going on? Maybe we can actually help you.
For me, the message that was that Romero was talking about in 73 still rings true today, which is this, you know, the use of the military machine as a means of bringing about kind of desires of the government. You know, I didn't want to portray the individual soldiers in the military as villains. They're not necessarily. They're kind of they're puppets that are controlled by this stronger force, this political force that uses the military to achieve their wills, be it, you know, nation building or oil or securing oil or fighting terrorism. But it's a machine that needs to be kept in check, and it's a machine that, left to its own devices, can be quite dangerous, whether on American soil or or around the world.
Now, is George Romero very much aware of this film? Have you ever spoken to him about this film or spoken to him in general?
Yeah, Romero saw the movie about 2 weeks ago, and I talked to him after it, and he was quite positive on the movie. He seemed quite excited about it, and we had a really good conversation about it.
Did he say something on the lines of, "Good job, man"?
Oh, boy.
You talked to him before? No, it was a complicated situation where the director, having his movie remade, of which he's executive producer, and then watching it and commenting on it. But the thing for me and talking to him that seemed most clear was his just general enthusiasm for the movie and excitement about it. So that was it was a nerve-wracking call to make. I was nervous dialing the numbers, but once I talked to him, I felt quite at ease.
Oh, I imagine it must be more than a little bit intimidating.
It is. It's definitely intimidating.
To the sick as we roll on here on Roll the Rumored Radio. Yeah, Bill Moseley coming up with the Blood Spatter Guide and stuff. More fun and craziness, infected madness, etc. to be. But first, we gotta see what's happening with Shannon. What's happening?
Well, the Academy Awards are this weekend, and Tomb is hoping that he might win an award for his independent movie. However, 20 minutes of him sitting in his underwear eating peanut butter, I don't think that's an Oscar. I just don't think so. Hey everyone, I'm Shannon, and I've got what's happening horror-wise from around the world. A charity zombie walk will be held Saturday, March 6th through the streets and parks of Stafford in the UK, raising funds for the Catherine House Hospice. The walk will start at 2 p.m. between Wolverhampton and Stoke-on-Trent. After the walk, there will be entertainment and refreshments. Go to justgiving.com/StaffordZombieWalk2010 for details. Join the kickoff to the Buff Festival season with a countdown to Underground Cinema Madness. It's at the Stewart Street Playhouse Tuesday, March 9th at 6 p.m., 200 Stewart Street, Boston. Free harpoon and pizza, and then a 45-minute sneak peek of shorts and trailers that'll be a part of the upcoming festival. There will be live music, prizes, and a chance to win passes to the festival itself. Go to bostonunderground.org for more details. And Horror Realm has teamed up with the Oaks Theater in Pittsburgh to present Independent Grindhouse on March 13th, starting at 10 p.m. You'll see trailers for upcoming independent films, the winner of the 2009 Horror Realm Feature Film Competition, and more. Tickets just $5 at the door. Go to theoakstheater.com for all the info. And if you've got details on something that's happening and you'd like the whole world to know about, send me an email, shannon@roomorgradio.com.
Plenty of show to go, fiends, on this very special, super-duper crazy, mentally ill episode of Roomorg Radio. Here's Brian Anthony, the crazies are coming. Oh no, the crazies, the old Smithers, the crazies are coming. Oh no. On your home for creamy, smooth rot and roll, the only station with a peanut on top, Roomorg.
Sister, she future of horror. Die for Horror Fest 4
on DVD everywhere March 23rd from Lionsgate.
This is Jackie Earl Haley, the new Freddy Krueger, and you're listening to Rue Morgue Radio.
The night is my domain.
Hello, I'm Lisa Ladussard. I'm your blood-spattered guide to music on Rue Morgue Radio.
So this is Radioland, huh? The infinite turtle, the waves through the ether fuzz roll on forever.
And this week I have a familiar voice.
Roar!
Bill Moseley. Now you're saying, he's an actor. Of course he is. You know him as Chop Top from Texas Chainsaw Massacre 2, of course, and also Devil's Rejects, House of a Thousand Corpses. But did you know that he's also a singer?
No, but whoa!
Well, you may have seen him sing his way through Repo, the genetic opera, but he also had a rock and roll band years ago called Cornbugs, a metal art experimental project with Buckethead, the guitar player from Guns N' Roses.
I stabbed myself with a rusty knife. My guts are spilling on the floor. I used the final ticks of life to even up the score.
He has a brand new band. Bill's group Spider Mountain is a partnership with Ronnie Sharone from the band Stolen Babies, who also plays with Pucifer. And their debut CD, No Way Down, is out now. So I had to call down to Los Angeles, track Bill down in his crazy castle of chaos, and ask him all about Spider Mountain.
Hello?
Bill, it's Lisa calling from Rue Morgue Radio.
Hey, it's great to be here.
We want to talk to you about Spider Mountain. What is Spider Mountain, and how do we get there?
Well, you know, you just close your eyes and think sometimes terrible, sometimes wonderful thoughts, and you'll find yourself on the top of Spider Mountain. The only problem is once you get up there, there's no way down. And it's been a great collaboration, a very different one, because this one we actually did more than one take. We actually composed the music as opposed to making it up spontaneously. And so it's a different direction for me, because I was basically, Cornbugs was catch-as-catch-can, and this is just a different way of making music, I guess a more, you know, normal or natural way.
I read that you haven't actually talked to Buckethead in quite some time, so when did you make the transition from, you know, letting go of Cornbugs and starting a new project?
You know, I met Ronnie, to the best of my recollection, I met Ronnie at a horror convention here in Los Angeles. When he and his brother came by and came up to my table, told me they were fans, and handed me a copy of Stolen Babies CD. And I went home and I listened to the CD, and I thought it was fantastic. And my daughter, who's now 11, she must have been 7 or 8 at the time, really loved Stolen Babies. So they got a lot of listens in the Moseley household.
Your last band didn't perform live. Will Spider Mountain be appearing on an actual stage, do you think?
I sure hope so. I'm looking forward to it. I could never catch up with Buckethead, so that made live performances a little difficult. But, you know, actually we did finally kind of an impromptu one-night stand at the Knitting Factory in L.A. back in 2004 when I got up on stage with Buckethead and his bass player Butthouse and his drummer Brain. And we did do a rendition of Jowls. But that was the closest we ever came to performing live. I'd love to. I think it'd be great.
I want to play a song to go out with from the new Spider Mountain record, which is called No Way Down. And being the vampire fan here at Rue Morgue Radio, I had to pick Bloodsucker Blues. What can you tell me about this track?
You know, it's came. It actually came to me. It's one of our the older lyrics, so it kind of predates all of the Twilight and the excitement about and True Blood and this, like, you know, current vampire fascination and popularity. It really was just about a vampire. It was about being thirsty for whatever your one is thirsty for, and ultimately being weary. But also still enjoying the music of life.
We kind of like to enjoy the music of death, but once in a while the music of life is okay too.
Well, there is no music of life without the music of death. Yeah, and we leave the music of death to the professionals. Dog, we'll hunt.
Much more from Bill Moseley on an upcoming episode of RumOrg Radio. We'll talk horror and chop top and craziness. The Spider Mountain record is available for purchase from choptopsbarbecue.com. You can also hear samples of the record on their MySpace page, MySpace/Spymo. Spymo, because someone with like 20 friends is holding on to Spider Mountain.
Say what?
Anyway, you can hear samples there. Or just enjoy this track right here on RumOrg Radio. This is Spider Mountain and Bloodsucker Blues.
Got to oil that creaking hinge. It's so cliche, so Dracula. Go, man, go. It's nearly sunset and your fangs are starting to show. Cool girl, cool. I need a drink and your veins are making me drool. For the love of God, have you ever needed blood? Red and hot, spurting from an open artery. Blood to quench the thirst of love. Can love be thirsty or is it only lust? Ha 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 ha! I was born a Western lad, just ask my mother. Go man, go. It's nearly sunset and your fangs are starting to show. Cool girl, cool. I need a drink and your veins are making me drool. Oh God, what is your plan for me? I get so weary praying on my knees. It's not the prayer, it's the good old up and down that bleeds me dry. I was born a Western lad, just ask my brother. Go man, go. It's nearly sunset and your fangs are starting to show. Cool girl, cool. I need a drink and your veins are making me drool. Go man, go. It's nearly sunset and your fangs are starting to show. Cool girl, cool. I need a drink and your veins are making me drool. Sunrise, my skin catches fire and burns from the bone. Oh sweet Clementine, gather up my winnings and take me to my room. I was born an Irish lad, just ask my brothers. Go man, go. It's nearly sunset and your fangs are starting to show. Cool girl, cool. I need a drink and your veins are making me drool. So tired, so tired. Read to me, sweetheart. Tell me it's all gonna be okay.
The most terrifying form of evil is that which lurks within the human mind.
This is Asylum of the Incurably Insane.
Asylum. The ultimate in horror. Asylum, the prison of madness, where few enter and none return. Asylum, filled with stark raving terror.
Here's Dr. Hayes in the Circus of Horrors. The lunatics have taken over the asylum. More lunacy to come on RumOrg Radio. Stay tuned.
The lunatics have taken over the asylum. The lunatics.
asylum. The lunatics have taken over the 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 asylum.
The always nutty caustic critics are dead ahead. Stay tuned. Here's Gary Newman. The Crazies.
Here in my room, where the pain grows like your vice, I'm still confused in love with me. Tonight at 10, I'll cry for a while. They'll get me for sure, it's just a question of time. We're the crazies. We're the crazies. We're the crazies. We're the crazies. I feel so ashamed, but I have run out of points of view. The man is a thinker, a thought that he died. Just sits in the corner looking somewhat surprised. We're the crazies. We're the crazies. We're the crazies. We're the crazies.
Think of how?
Not Deidre and Nicholas. There was an empty gas can just sitting out front, and Bill, well, he was mowing the damn lawn.
Bill!
I only exterminate in my spare time. I find the machines for the passers-by. I know I'm wrong, but what makes you right? The simple solution is to end it all. We're the crazies. We're the crazies. We're the crazies. We're the crazies.
Since I touched my drink. And each day, the darkness surrounds us by inches. Every step is a choice. I've made my choice.
Hello, Robert England here, a.k.a. Freddy Krueger, ex-Freddy Krueger, and you're listening to Rue Morgue Radio, and check me out in April on Bones, my special guest star.
The Caustic Critic.
Controversial. Unrelenting. It's brutal. It's nasty.
Sensational.
The worst of the worst.
Offend everyone equally.
Bowling.
They're real.
This stuff shit scrapes off the bottom of its shoes.
They're mean.
So what was the actor's name?
Oh, God, what a plank he is.
They're here.
Are you ready? It's time for the Caustic Critic.
They're here.
All aboard!
Hey everybody, this is Last Chance Lance.
This is Feedback.
We're fucking crazy.
Crazy am I? We'll see whether I'm crazy or not.
Are you crazy?
Not really, but...
Well, I'm not that crazy. I wanted to be crazy about the movie that we're reviewing today, The Crazies. The remake of The Crazies.
Which, surprisingly, I bumped into you at the movie theater.
It was another double date.
That was not predetermined.
No, I was putting all the stuff on my popcorn.
As per usual.
And you came in there, and it was crazy that we met there.
But before we get into the movie, we should mention a couple of things. One, a pox on that arsehole who was text messaging us at the beginning of the movie.
You actually leaned over and told him to stop. Good for you.
But every time I go to that movie theater, that happens. So we've got to do something to stop that. I don't know what we can do, but we've got to implement harsher measures.
Secondly, Twitter everybody in the theater.
We got to see the Nightmare on Elm Street trailer.
Oh, that's right. Which was also crazy.
Crazy, insane.
Insane?
Crazy?
It actually looked pretty good. I thought it looked good.
Yeah, but that's the trick with those Platinum Dunes. Always, they cut down, they make decent trailers, but when you see the film, you realize there's nothing beyond the trailer inherent in the film. But let's move on to the second thing. We saw this via a digital projection. What do you think of that?
I could not tell you the difference, really?
I could tell the difference in the long shots.
Oh.
You could determine some of the pixelation. The resolution wasn't quite on point. But let's face it, digital projection, there's no way of escaping it. It's going to be implemented across the board just for cost purposes. I'm just relieved it's as good as it is right now.
Well, I couldn't tell the difference, dude.
Yeah,
so
well, there you go. So, All right, The Crazies.
What's it about? Well, it's about a small town in like the Midwest states or something like that, and a plane has crashed and released some kind of biological warfare agent, and it starts affecting the people living there, and they slowly go nuts and start killing each other.
David, there's somebody outside.
Military started shooting town folk.
We gotta get out of here, guys!
And so we've got the town sheriff and his pregnant wife who are trying to make it out.
Played by Radha Mitchell, the wife.
Did a good job.
With that incredible melon that she has.
Say what?
A gigantic head.
Oh, yeah?
She looks like one of those
lollipop girls.
Bubble head dolls.
Oh, okay.
If people who haven't seen the movie, if you check it out, or if you've seen it and you check it out again, pay attention to Radha Mitchell's bobblehead.
I'm going to do that the next time.
It's insane.
Yeah, well...
Her head is far too big for that body.
Well, that's a huge noggin. Shh. I'm not kidding. It's like an orange on a toothpick. Shh.
Okay. I like this movie for the most part. And there's a little caveat there because it is a gory movie. There's lots of good kills. There's lots of good... there's lots of good scary sequences in it, yet by the third act it just starts to drag and it starts to get boring, which is the worst thing that could happen in a movie.
I just realized that we saw the movie together, but I never did get a read on what you thought.
Purposely didn't talk about it because we're going into this cold.
As a remake, this doesn't offend me. Even though I'm a fan of the original Romero film, I don't consider it to be one of his great films. To me, it's more interesting as a stylistic precursor to Dawn of the Dead. So I actually went into this with no expectation whatsoever, and I mean that literally. I almost couldn't care less, to tell you the truth. So I was prepared to just take on board whatever the film had to throw at me.
That sounds crazy.
And I got to say, I enjoyed it. For a lot of the reasons that you did, especially for Radha Mitchell's bobble-headed, oversized melon. The car wash sequence.
Great.
There's a great sequence in the film with a car wash. And if you've ever been through a car wash, which I'm sure everyone probably listening has, you may have stopped to think, this could potentially be quite frightening. And definitely the director of this movie, Breck Eisner, fully explored the potential for how terrifying a car wash could be.
Yeah.
I don't want to die like this!
Ah!
it's full of great little sequences there. Mm. It kind of starts off with a bit of a bang, and but then it gets to the point where they're trying to get out of the town and they're just doing a lot of walking and a lot of that crazy movie stuff where it's like, hey, let's separate because that's safer, and something happens to that person and something happens to that person. But that happens again and again and again. And one thing I liked about the 73 Romero crazies was that it had a very downbeat ending. Mm-hmm. And without giving the ending of this away, it at least lived up to it, I thought.
I think the biggest problem is it's a kind of tired conceit by this point. It wasn't in 73, but it is now. The whole idea of zombie apocalypses, rage, viruses, etc., etc. It just felt really redundant.
It's about 10 years too late, honestly. Yeah. And as good as I thought it was, and I'm still going to quote-unquote champion it, it almost didn't deserve a theatrical release. It would have been mighty fine,
no,
I think, on the...
I disagree. Oh, it's better than the usual crap we've been seeing.
I stand corrected, then. Are you going to go nuts on me here?
Sometimes you feel like a nut, sometimes you don't.
We should mention Lynn Lowry from the original does do a cameo in this, which is quite interesting. Well, it's not interesting. It's just kind of a
neat
bit of a novelty. But you say the remake came 10 years too late. I say the original came 37 years too early.
Wow, has it been that long?
It certainly has.
Wow, that's scary.
It's crazy.
That is crazy.
The magnetic fields. Young and insane.
Don't you so lazy? What if you must act up?
broadcasting online from rewardradio.com. This is Tomb Dragon here, and I am out of here. I gotta go eat me some vegetables. Delicious wheelchair-bound vegetables. Till next time, fiends, thanks for listening, and vote for us. It's Rondo Award time again. Go to rondoaward.com and vote for Rumorg Radio as the best horror audio site. That's category 20, and why not write in your old pal, Tomb Dragomir, as best horror host. Until then, fiends, tweet me at Tomb, DRAGOMIR, and stay crazy. Till next time, audio.
Do you remember metabolics?
No, Grandfather, please explain.
Well, after the M-virus was released upon the masses, the infection started off slowly, and as it began to spread, suddenly it disappeared.
What happened?
Some say it was the work of that evil bastard called the proprietor. He'll stop at nothing to foil any attempts at making good music.
The man about stop him?
We thought metabolics would make a difference, but not much changed. Most music continued to get frighteningly sickening by the moment. Some good music managed to work its way through the cracks into the light, only to go unnoticed or underrated. Most never knowing the feeling of conquering the chaos that envelops us all. Mr. Dead felt the time to attack was then and now. Which puts us in the mix of yet another boundless adventure. Some say when the time is right, he will return from out of the darkness into another realm which cannot be spoken of. But I will tell you this, young man.
Yes?
Careful what you say. For those who have faith, he will return to us. Hopefully, he can save us from ourselves.
Magic moments, memories we've been sharing. Magic moments, when two hearts are caring.
Thank you very much for joining us tonight. We'll see you tomorrow. Good night, everybody.
You know, you just close your eyes and think sometimes terrible, sometimes wonderful thoughts, and you'll find yourself on the top of Spider Mountain. The only problem is once you get up there, there's no way down.
Damn right.
Crazy, insane.
Insane?
Crazy?